How many of you have all your gifts wrapped? Wow, man, a few of you. Not. I was on social media, and this article caught my attention, and I wanted to read it to you because it has to do with what we're talking about today. This is on today.com. It says, the title of the article was this. It said, Mom books hotel for the weekend to wrap Christmas presents in peace. This is part of the article. I won't read the whole thing. It says, this mom posted a video on TikTok showcasing what she described as her wrapping weekend, in which she booked a hotel room for two nights in a row to get all of her gift wrapping done in one fell swoop. In the video, she can be seen dragging in all of her unwrapped gifts and wrapping materials through the hotel lobby, donning her comfortable festive attire, including a Santa baby sweatshirt, and enjoying some solo time in her room. This new tradition started in 2021 when she asked her husband what he thought about her booking a hotel room for a couple of days to finish up her gift wrapping. She explained, I think I just needed a little break. It was just mayhem last year coming out of everything that was going on in the world. So it was a getaway, but also a chance to wrap some gifts. I have some suggestions I could give to her. It might be a little bit cheaper how to get those gifts wrapped. But we were wrapping ours last week. And we locked the door, said, you stay out, don't come in. If you come in and you peek, that present's going back or it's going to somebody else. Seemed to work pretty well. But this time of year is a time of many emotions and feelings, some stress, some chaos, some anxiety, some very little peaceful moments probably, time with family, time of gift giving. And today what we're going to talk about is peace. We're in the fourth week of Advent. Advent means coming or arrival as we look forward to the birth of Jesus, but now we're looking forward also to the coming of Jesus again, the second coming. And so what we've been doing these past 4 weeks is looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and I'll take a moment and read those. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, and I think they're on the screen as well. It says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come before you this morning knowing that you hear our prayers, you see us, you know what we're going through, what we're going to go through tomorrow, and what we've been through. Lord, I pray now that you would bless our time as we look in your word, as we study the Prince of Peace. Lord, may it be honoring and glorifying to you what I say and how we worship today and how we acknowledge you and who you are. We thank you for a Savior that you sent to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to focus our attention on you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So this is the fourth week we've been looking at these titles. The first one we looked at was Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful was something that's supernatural, miraculous, or awe-inspiring. Counselor is somebody that gives guidance or advice from a position of authority. Then we looked at Mighty God, which is translated as a hero, a warrior. And then we looked at Everlasting Father last week. This speaks of the Messiah's eternal fatherly care and authority over his people. It highlights his role as a protector, a provider and guide whose reign will never end. And that brings us to today, the Prince of Peace. If you look up peace in a dictionary, you'll find a few varying definitions, but they're all very similar in how they define it. This one says, it's a stress-free state of security and calmness that comes when there's no fighting or war. Everything coexisting in perfect harmony and freedom. No surprise, you look at around in our society and other nations, peace is lacking. There is no peace. There's no peace globally, there's no peace nationally, and there's no peace personally. You turn on the news or you open a newspaper or you're on Yahoo or Google or USAtoday.com and you're looking at the news. If you go through that, you'll see a lot of conflict. It could be nations fighting, Ukraine and Russia, something in the Middle East with Israel. You'll see a school shooting. You'll see somebody that got raped, or you'll see somebody that committed murder. Every page probably that you look at has something violent on it, something that represents a lack of peace in our society, in our world, and in our lives as well. After World War II, the United Nations was formed. The idea was to help bring peace, to help limit the conflict that we have with nations. However, the statistic says over the 3,500 years in history, it's been estimated that the world has seen peace for only 286 of them, which is about 8% of the time. It's estimated that over 8,000 peace treaties have been broken throughout history. If you go to America, violent crime is committed every 26 seconds in America. Also in America, a murder occurs every 32 minutes. The world searches for peace in many ways. The world will search for peace in money, success, marriage, family, drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, perhaps comfort, maybe exercise, or a good sleep, comfort food, or some type of therapy. The list goes on and on. If I mention the word peace, maybe you have something that comes to your mind. Maybe for some of you, that is sitting on the beach, enjoying the sun, enjoying the quietness, enjoying the waves. Some of you, maybe that's the mountains, the quietness, the stillness of the mountains, the solitude. For some of you, maybe it's out on a lake or a river fishing. For some of you, maybe it's on the golf course. For some of you, maybe it's just a cup of coffee early in the morning before everybody gets up. We all want peace. We all long for peace. Why is peace so hard to obtain? I came across this. It says a Christian doctor carried out an interesting survey involving his patients. As they waited in the waiting room, they were asked to fill out a survey. One of the questions asked was, "What is your number one wish?" On analyzing the answers, the doctor found out that the number one wish of 67% of his patients said this, "I just want peace of mind. I just want peace of mind." There is only one thing that will bring you and that will bring me complete and everlasting peace. His name is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Thinking about this text, Prince of Peace, and I looked up what is peace, because peace is mentioned so many times in the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, hundreds of times the word peace is mentioned. In this instance, Prince of Peace, in Hebrew it means shalom. Perhaps you have heard of that word, shalom. It means much deeper and broader than just an absence of conflict. It carries rich connotations of wholeness, completeness, well-being, harmony, and prosperity. In Jewish tradition, shalom is more than just a peace in the sense of tranquility. It denotes a state of health, safety, and fullness in every area of life. In the Old Testament, shalom is used in greetings and blessings, such as in Numbers 6. This is the verse, Numbers 6, 24 through 26 says this, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace," or shalom. In the New Testament, peace, or the concept of shalom, is linked to Christ. Jesus often used the word peace to convey a message of reconciliation with God and with each other. So how would they receive this? How would they have received this promise that a baby would come, a Savior would come, a Messiah would come, that he would be all of these things and also the Prince of Peace? Well, you have to understand Israel was politically unstable. They were divided, northern and southern kingdom. They had good kings, they had bad kings, they had conflict, they had famine. They were experiencing fear, injustice. This prophecy brought hope. This prophecy brought encouragement that a future leader, a Messiah, would arise. The Prince of Peace in this context would have been understood as a messianic figure who could end these cycles of violence and bring about a reign characterized by justice, peace, and prosperity. So how do we get peace? Why do we need peace? Today I want to share with you just a few points. The first one is this: how do we get peace with God? How do we get peace with God? Why do we need peace? If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you look at the fall of man, Adam and Eve, right? They gave in to temptation. They gave in to Satan's ploy, his plan to deceive them. He asked them, "Did God really say this? Did God really mean it this way?" As we know, they take of the fruit and they sin. And from that point forward, Life has never been the same. Genesis 3:15 says this, this is after the fall, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first mention of the gospel pointing to the future victory of Christ over Satan. There is a conflict. The greatest conflict is us with God. We have a conflict with God. We are all sinners. We are not at peace with God because of our sin. We're under his judgment. We're separated from his presence, his holiness. This is the greatest conflict in human existence because of sin. Romans 5:12 says this, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And this is a familiar verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're reminded in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. The thing we need to realize before we can have peace with God is that we need to realize we are sinners. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We need somebody to save us from ourselves. Well, why do we need saved from our sin? Why do we need a Savior? Well, we're told in Romans 6:23, the consequence for our sin is death. And it says this, for the wages of sin is death. But, gotta love that word, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin breaks our fellowship with God and also with other believers, causing division, disharmony in the body of Christ. Luke 13:3 says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You say, well, that's not great news. This is Christmas. Why are we talking about that? Well, there's hope, right? Goes back to Isaiah. Prophecy that was given 700 years before he was born. I want to share a few verses with you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter 2 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And then Colossians 1:20 says this, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. If you would please turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I believe it's on page 1198 if you're using a Bible from the pew. Talking about peace with God. We are aware that we're sinners. We go back to Genesis 3. We're in need of a Savior because our sin, and our sin leads to death, a separation from God, if we don't make him the Lord and Savior of our life. But talking about this idea of peace with God, we see this in many verses in the New Testament talking about peace with God, but I just want to share this one verse with you in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since then, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall be saved by him from the wrath of God. Verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And to go back to verse 1, he says, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. How do we have that? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, you are not at peace with God. You are at conflict with God. And if you were, something were to happen to you and you are still in conflict with God, you would be completely separated from God forever. You would spend eternity in hell separated from him and separated from those who serve him, who have made him the Lord and Savior of their life. We need peace with God because of our sin, and we can have it through Jesus. This is part of the plan. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Why a baby, of all things, Israel facing Assyria invasion, and all these things that they're going through, why a baby? Well, God has a plan. His plan is perfect, and it's bigger than anything we could. He doesn't want to just rescue us from our temporary now problems. He's thinking long picture. He's thinking eternity. He's thinking forever. What we need is a Savior. We need peace with God. So let's say that you have peace with God. You are a born-again believer. You've repented of your sin. You confess your sin, and you have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of life. How do we get that peace? How do we keep the peace? Prince of Peace, and he'll give us peace, and we have peace with God. But we look around our society. We write songs about peace. We write poems about peace. We come up with catchy slogans about peace. We even protest for peace. We do all these things for peace, but where is it? How do we keep it? How do we obtain it and keep it in our daily lives? Not just our salvation, but how every day? Because nobody walks around saying, I just got too much peace. I just need to get rid of some of this peace that I have. No, nobody says that, right? We all want peace. We all need more peace in our daily lives. So I want to talk to you this morning about a pursuit of peace. Psalm 34:14 says, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. 1 Peter 3:11 says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. So then how do we possess something that seems so difficult to maintain or to obtain on a day-to-day basis? I'd like to read from you Philippians chapter 4 if you want to turn there. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, I'll read to verse 9. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So when we go back to verse 6 and talking about peace, he tells us in verse 6 not to be anxious. Have you ever went through something and you go to somebody and you talk to somebody and they say, you share your heart with them, you share the problems with them, and they say, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Just don't worry about it. How does that make you feel? Not great, right? It doesn't really give you a lot of help. It doesn't really help you in your area of struggle that you're facing. You go to that person, you confide in them, you share your heart with them, and maybe they just kind of offer some type of advice of, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. Don't be anxious. No, when we go to somebody, what we're wanting is wisdom, we're wanting comfort, we're wanting some type of strength, some words of wisdom from this person. So he says not to be anxious, but he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say, don't do this. He tells us how not to be anxious. How do we have this peace? How do we chase after the Prince of Peace? How do we get these things so we're not anxious? How do we get peace? Well, the first thing we see there, he says, rejoice in the Lord always in verse 4. But if you drop down to verse 6, he says, after he says not to be anxious, he says, but in everything by what? Prayer. Pray. There are times, if we're all honest, when we go through something, we don't always pray first, right? We don't always go to the Lord and first. The only one that can understand, the only one that can help us, that can give us words of wisdom, that can give us strength and give us comfort, give us what we need, we don't always go to him in prayer. The next thing he mentions is supplication. This would be a strong cry or plea to God. Have you ever cried out to God? And I'm not talking about like, God, please help me with my test next week, or help me, you know, not to get sick, or no, like you cry out to God. God, help me. I need you. I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your peace.
It's a strong plea. It's a strong cry to God. Then the next thing he says is to be thankful. If you look in these verses, he says, verse 6, he talked about prayer and supplication. And then he says, with thanksgiving, so being thankful. What do we have to be thankful about? We have a lot to be thankful for, right? We're here now. You're alive. You have breath. You have clothes. You have food to eat. You have coffee to drink. You have family. You have Jesus. We have a lot to be thankful for. And then he says, let your request be known to God. So we, to avoid anxiousness, to have peace, we need to pray. We need to cry out to God in supplication. We need to be thankful for the things in our life. And then he says, request, the fourth one. Be specific. Be specific with God and be honest with God. He knows anyway, right? He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. But be honest with him. Be open with him. If you notice verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. So in verse 4, two times he mentions rejoice. We have a lot to rejoice about, do we not? Do we not? And I'm just like you. When hard times come, when things are tough, I focus on that. I have horse blinders on. I'm looking just at that. But what we need to do is rejoice, because we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be joyful about. We have salvation. We have a lot of stuff in our life that we take it for granted. We don't think about everything that God has done for us. Make your request known. Be specific. And the last thing I would say is we need to be careful how we think. If you look up the word anxiety, it means to divide or to pull in two different directions. So if you're worried and you're stressed and you're anxious about something, it's really hard to be thankful. It's really hard to rejoice. And so what you're doing is you're pulling in two different directions. You cannot be grateful and stressed at the same time. It doesn't work. Because if you're thanking God, you're not thinking about the problems. And if you're focused on the problem, then you are not thinking about your blessings. Because if you look at verse 8, he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, what's he say? Think about these things. Think. Nobody talks to you more than you. Think about that for a moment. Nobody talks to you more than you do. You are talking to yourself every day, probably several times throughout the day, if not every few minutes. You're saying something to yourself. You are thinking about yourself. You are talking to yourself. What you think matters. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to obey Christ. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Let me read that again. You keep him, talking about God, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So what is the result of doing these things? If we're thinking the right way, we're praying, we're making our requests known, we're crying out to God. Well, the result is we get the peace of God. See, we have peace with God. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not at conflict with God anymore. Then if you do these things, if you're pursuing peace, you're pursuing the Prince of Peace, then you get the peace of God. Look at verse 7, Philippians 4, verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a supernatural peace. This isn't a temporary fix. This is a peace that only God can give. It's incomparable. The world looks for peace, as we mentioned earlier, in a lot of different ways. And there are things you can do today even to get peace. But what will happen? That peace will be gone. It'll be temporary. That cup of coffee will run out. That fire will die down. The snow will melt. You'll have to go home from the beach or the mountains. You have to come off the golf course. You have to come off the lake. So that peace will be gone. It's temporary. The peace that we can have is a peace that's incomparable. It's a supernatural peace that Jesus can give to us, and it can last, but we have to pursue it. If you notice in verse 7, he says, a peace that surpasses all understanding. It means it cannot be fully comprehended by human reason. It's a divine peace that provides calm and assurance, even when circumstances suggest chaos or fear. It refers to the kind of peace that only God can give. It's a peace that goes beyond human logic, human reasoning, and circumstances. Then, if you notice that verse, he says, not only does it surpass, this peace surpasses all understanding, he says, it will guard your hearts and your minds. You think about your heart, that's the center of emotions, the things that you feel. And he says it'll protect us from negative feelings like fear and anxiety and anger and bitterness. Then the mind, he says it'll protect your mind. That's representing our thinking process, right? Our reasoning, our understanding. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. This peace is a deposit. It's something that Jesus gives to us. Remember, he's talking to his disciples here, and this is hours before he's to be crucified and leave them, and he's trying to encourage them. He sees the fear, the doubt, the questions they have in their mind. He's saying, I'm going to give you peace. Here's peace. I'm going to give it to you. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. But I think it's interesting because he says, not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. Maybe it's a good paying job. Maybe it's health insurance. Maybe it's a lock on our door at night. Maybe it's a retirement plan. Maybe it's a savings or bank account. Maybe it's living in a nice neighborhood. Or maybe it's some type of possession or good health that we're finding peace and security in. But again, that's temporary. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. This peace is not just a global or national level, it's at the heart level of each person. It's a peace that's everlasting. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, this is Jesus, that in me you may have peace. And in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In me you may have peace. Then he says, in the world you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, you will have hardship, but guess what? I'm giving you peace. Peace in bad situations. Peace that's everlasting. Then the last thing we will look at is the promise of peace. The promise of peace. So one article has said there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that God gives to us. Peter calls them great and precious promises in 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to direct your attention back to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, where we began. This promise of peace. He tells the disciples, I'll give you peace. He's told us we can have peace with God, we can have the peace of God. This promise of peace is also found, I believe, here in these verses. As we look at the end of verse 7, focus your attention on that last sentence. It says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This isn't a, hey, maybe kind of thing. This isn't, hey, this could happen, or look for this. Maybe it might happen in the future. No, this is going to happen. This baby will be born. These are the titles. This is what he's going to do. He's going to save people from their sin because they need saved from their sin. It's going to happen. It's a powerful promise that the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, it speaks of his eternal kingdom of peace, justice, and righteousness. I want to read to you Revelation chapter 21 in connection with what we just read in Isaiah 9, 7. The zeal of the Lord will do this. His plan is to rescue men from their sin. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4 says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. And neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have have passed away. He promises us peace in our everyday lives, but there will be a peace that lasts forever. When Jesus comes back, it tells us there at the end, verse 4, he says, there's going to be a day, there's going to be no more tears, there's going to be no more pain, there's going to be no more mourning. That's a promise. That isn't, hey, this might happen. No, it's a promise. It's the promise of peace. As we conclude, I want to ask you a few questions. We're thinking about the Prince of Peace. Let me ask you this. What or who are you looking to for peace? What are you looking for in your life that you think is going to bring you peace? There's a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. And there will be times where that can give you a temporary, circumstantial peace, and it will be gone. It'll flee. It's done. It'll flee. What are you looking to for peace? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you made him the Lord and Savior of your life? Do you have peace with God? It's been said the most important decision you'll ever make is where you will spend eternity. And I know Christmas time is a time that we eat a lot of good food, we buy presents, and we get stressed out and all these things. If we're honest, there's times where we forget why we're celebrating Christmas. But the whole purpose, the whole plan, going back to even Isaiah 7:14, where he tells them, Emmanuel is coming, God with you, God with us. The next question I want to ask you is this, is not just what or who are you looking to for peace, but what's wrecking your peace right now? Ask yourself, what is wrecking my peace? What situation do you find yourself in? What do you find yourself worried and stressed about, thinking about, consumed about? What is wrecking your peace right now? Because Jesus doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want you to be stressed out, to have that burden on your life. Then the last thing I would ask you is this. Who do you know that needs peace? You say, well, I need peace. We all need peace. But I'm talking about somebody in your life specifically that doesn't have any idea what true peace is. They don't know Jesus. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. They're not saved. They're on the way to hell. They want nothing to do with any of that. Who do you know that needs peace? Are you praying for that person? Are you looking for opportunities to speak to that person, to speak life into their situation, into them? We all probably know somebody that needs peace. We need this Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come before you. We are grateful that the words that we read from your Bible, from your text, Lord, that it's true. These promises are not maybes or could-bes, but they are things that are true. Lord, I pray for us this morning. Lord, I don't know where each person is in their walk with you. Lord, there may be someone here that doesn't have peace with God because they've never made you the Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, I pray that before they leave, they would talk to me or talk to Pastor Mark or Justice or someone that they feel like they can get some answers and get some understanding, that they trust, that today would be the day of their salvation. That would be the greatest gift of all. Lord, we get a lot of good stuff this time of year. We have a lot of good times, but the most precious thing we could possibly get would be somebody to come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So today, Lord, I pray, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that before they walk out the doors in the back, Lord, that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. They would ask questions. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that know you. They are at peace with you, and there's times in our lives where we have peace of God, but Lord, maybe today that's escaped us. We don't have that peace that the Prince of Peace offers. Maybe we are stressed out about something. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's any number of things, Lord. You know what they're dealing with. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that they would come to you now in humbleness and surrender and give it to you and lay it at your feet. Say, I don't want it anymore. I don't need it anymore. It's not helping me. I'm giving it to you, God, and I'm trusting you. I want peace. I want a peace that passes all understanding, this supernatural peace that only you can give. I pray that they would do that. And Lord, I know if they do, that you would give it to them. You've given it to us before. You do it again and again and again. And Lord, I pray for us. Lord, we all know somebody that probably doesn't have peace at all. They're not at peace with you. They don't have peace in their everyday lives. They don't have the peace of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be aware of that, that you would open our eyes to see those people. Lord, you would allow us, that you would use little old us to be a tool, to be an instrument, to share good news with them. Lord, I pray that you would allow us those opportunities. And God, we thank you. We thank you for the Prince of Peace. Thank you for the peace that we can feel even now as we've given this stuff to you, as we're trusting you even now. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for a Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.